following episode of Dave's Video Graveyard contains spoilers and naughty words. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome yet again to our spin-off series, Dave's Video Graveyard's Shit Show. It's a show of shit.
It is such a misleading title because we've pretty much covered two properties now that we absolutely love to the deepest of our heart. The original intention was we revisit shows that we used to be obsessed with that we know were kind of, you know, of that ilk.
Yeah.
We revisit them and see if they really were, well, if they are now a shit show. And I'll tell you what, we're wasting our time this week.
Yes, I would never call this show shit. I don't think it was never shit when back when it was around, and it's not shit to me now.
There is no unit of measurement that says that Gladiators is shit. Like, the only thing that's shit about it is that it's not still replayed on air. That is my biggest issue.
I want reruns of that.
Just give us reruns. I'm so sick. I don't need to watch the same five episodes. Friends.
Yep.
I don't need to watch.
Everyone Loves Raymond.
I don't need to watch the third repeat of Farmer Wants a Wife or, you know, Married at First Sight. I don't need any of that shit. That is genuine shit that no one enjoys.
That is.
And if you do enjoy it, there's something wrong with you. We are talking about Gladiators. We're not talking about the reboot from 2008.
No.
are talking about the classic season
the
that ran
classic.
From 1995 to 1996. And I've got to say, that was the most mind-blowing thing to know about Gladiators is that it was only on air
for 2 years.
For three seasons over 2 years.
It felt like an eternity to me as a kid.
In my memory, before we started researching, I feel like this show started in 1989 and ran until like 1999. Like that's how much of my life, that's how much of my heart was taken up by Gladiators.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, it was basically a hit series that was a spin-off of the US version, which was very similar.
Mm. And even though some of the characters had the same names, like they just got a list of names and just put them onto the new.
Kind of like, remember The Weakest Link, where they just got Morag from Home and Away?
Yeah, and it was just exactly
the exact
same
thing. They did the same with the
The Weakest Link.
This is definitely a shit show. Gladiators was such a fun time. It was essentially a bunch of fitness bogans from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
They'd take time out of picking up their old-fashioned 1990s gym machine equipment, like the exercise bikes that have the big fans on them and the massive chunky metal. They were lifting all the barbells that were like rusty and you had to screw in and you couldn't unscrew them. So
or like the opening scene to the Toxic Avenger where they're all in that outdated gym.
Picture any man in the 1990s in Australia that had a perm that would do aerobics old style in the morning. They would, you know.
Bike shorts with a leotard over the top.
This was the blueprint of Ninja Warrior TV reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
All these backyard warriors, for lack of a better term, would show up and decide to show the world how tough they were by taking on a team of gladiators. And I'll tell you what, we need to have more reverence for the gladiators themselves. Like when we spoke about Hey Hey It's Saturday, we were like, you know, these are living legends. You know, the Red Simons of the world, all these people, they are living legends. It feels like Gladiators has kind of gone by the wayside to a degree.
I think it's because now we've got that whole fashion of being fitness. Like it would be like your Michelle Bridges kind of person would be on it now and nobody would give a shit.
It's one of those things, at the time of the 90s that it was, you had to have a focus on fitness to be a part of the show, whereas now it seems society's like, oh no, fitness should, everyone should be going to the gym.
Yeah.
That's why like Biggest Loser changed.
Yeah, so like this was back when like a big fit person was like this heroic thing that you could only aspire to be like, whereas now you're just shamed for not being one.
And the other thing I also found funny is, like you look at professional wrestling, particularly like the US brands and stuff now, they've really refined what peptides and what not to take. And so you get your the occasional human growth hormone and stuff.
Yeah.
They look aesthetically amazing. But in the 90s, it was all like anabolic steroids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anytime someone was on steroids in the 90s, you knew it because they kind of looks weird now to look back.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever watch like the porn of the 90s now? You go back and watch it where they've got the terrible tans. The like fake boobs are like crazy wrong.
Yeah, yeah, they've those got boobs.
They've got the tan of the like the swimsuit tans, yes, and stuff like, yep, that. And also you can just tell the unnaturalness of their bodies. Whereas now if someone is like correctly taking their vitamins, you wouldn't tell. You just can't think, oh, tell, wow, that's, yeah, what a, you know, a normal human looks like, The Rock.
Have you seen those people? I don't know what. It's like a weird bodybuilding subculture cheat method where they inject these liquids and stuff into their arms to make it look like huge guns.
Heaps of like Russian photos, yeah, where like they look like pyramids up the top because they've just injected, they look like Big Papa Pump the wrestler, because yeah, they've like just those injected.
Remember those sneakers that you could pump,
like Reebok pump,
yeah, but yes, like on their arm.
I'm my favorite thing is the guy that was on Shark Tank. He was an Aussie like photographer.
Okay,
he had a mohawk. You'd know the guy if I showed you. He's kind of old. Looks a bit like Dicko from TV. Okay. He got that surgery in like the late 90s where he got abs put into his fat belly.
But you can tell he's still fat.
Because he's still fat. It is so good.
Like dad bod, but was stuck on abs.
He's built like a budgie and then he's just got this like unnatural thing. The 90s were a fun time and that's what we're here to celebrate today.
Vulcan is the wild man of the team. 29 years old, 115 kilos. He's big and tough. He's not one to mess with. Vulcan takes no prisoners.
This is not a spectator sport.
Gladiators. It is time once again to celebrate one of the best shows from our childhood.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to admit that we are talking to one of my all-time childhood heroes today. We are very lucky to be joined by the be-all, end-all of Gladiators himself.
Yep.
We are joined by Vulcan. Vulcan, thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome, man. You're welcome. You know, I love Adelaide. I love people of Adelaide. I've been there so many times. So I love it. Thank you guys for inviting me.
Anytime. I was lucky enough to catch you at, I believe it was the AAW All-Stars show back in the day. You were taking part of it with a good friend of the show, Wayne the Maniac.
Yeah, man. I used to live in America before, you know, before the Gladiators came up. I was wrestling over there. Before in the 90s, the early 90s, nobody knew anything about wrestling. And then I went over and my wife just said, "Are you going to go over?" And I was like, "Really? I've got no idea about wrestling." So I went over there, spent some time over there. Then I came back, and when I came back, that wrestling, that gave me so much confidence. It's amazing. You know, I come in because, you know, in wrestling, you know the wrestling business.
Yeah.
You and I and the referee and people watching you type of thing, you know what I mean? So that actually brought up really, really, really good pause.
I guess the first thing we wanted to know about, what was the life like as, you know, those few years on one of the coolest television shows we've ever seen in Australia. What was it like? Like, what was the lifestyle like working on Gladiators?
It was very hard, actually. People don't realize how hard it was. We do a lot of training, and we all live in Sydney and a couple in Melbourne, and we have to travel to Brisbane.
Oh.
It was very, very, very hard, and people don't realize you train every day. But the thing, though, is when you watch the Gladiators, you don't realize. Every game only goes for 1 minute. But it's the build-up around it that makes it exciting. The Powerball is only 1 minute, and that's it. You know what I mean? Like the duel and the duel up on the top, 1 minute only. But, you know, me, I ended in 10 seconds because I was just so good, you know what I mean? When you do that, you train all the time, you don't realize the injury. Just like I was talking to you about the AFL players, they talk about the injuries they suffered. We do exactly the same thing. The only difference is, I'll tell you the difference right now. Gladiators, you have to be fit. You know, the fitness is going to be good. Your diet is going to be good, and also too. Then your look is very important. You're going to be good. You're going to be well groomed and everything. So even though it's like a sporting thing, it's still a TV show.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, because one thing I noticed was I really enjoyed every time you guys would beat the crap out of a contestant, Kimberly Joan. That would go up and like try to interview them, and they were so gassed still, puffed out still. And it's like you've got to realize that. The contestants might have it hard, but you have to go so hard for that 1 minute of the event as a gladiator.
that would they space out the events that you would be doing? Like, because obviously you'd have different events that would have different gladiators. Were there shows where maybe you'd do three or four events in that show, or how did that all work out?
So we filmed one show together. But the reason they all stopped is because it's a fear too, you know, the nervousness.
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever been in the ring of fighting or boxing or whatever, you lose about 50% of your energy being nervous.
Oh,
wow.
Also, too, like when you intimidate other people, like with me, when I do the duel, and I know it's you against them, and everybody's like saying, oh, yeah, nobody's going to beat Vulcan. And I was thinking, okay, if this guy beat me, I'd be so embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I intimidate people when I get up there. Mm. You know, I go, and I never talk to anybody, and they just like, what's wrong with him? And they think that I hate them in a way.
Yeah.
You know? And I never, every time I'm there, when I do, A series goes on for, I think, just one day. But the people are training there for about 3-4 weeks, right? And every time we just train, we see each other walk past. I never, ever spoke to any challengers. Never.
Yeah.
And they, wow, that guy's scary. See? It's all mental game. But the rest of the boys, they shake their hand. And I said, what are you doing, man? They're actually going to want to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, so I win by mental. It's a mental game that I beat them by. By the time they get on the duel with me, they go, this guy wanted to kill me.
There was definitely an intimidating aspect to the Vulcan character on the show. Is the character that you see on the show true to the person who's the athlete that's performing it, do you think? Like,
you know what? Because I was living in America, I was wrestling. It's all a wrestling gimmick. And people don't realize. They don't know that. And they're like, man, you're horrible. I'm just a heel, man. If you understand wrestling, there's a good guy and a bad guy. I'm just playing a heel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And people think, man, you're so horrible. And other people don't know me. Bro, I know him. You know what I mean? The friend of the gym is like, man, go talk to him. No, I mean, he's going to kill me. He said, bro, Johnny, fine. You know what I mean? It's a gimmick. It's just like telling somebody that Anthony Hopkins actually killed people. It did.
One thing I did enjoy, because we've been doing a bit of a deep dive, so we've been watching episodes from each series. It was quite funny because from the get-go, they definitely wanted to set you up as one of the big bads. You were the heel of the story.
Yeah.
But you're undeniable, charismatic, and like just the way you present yourself, like it felt like you were born to be this character, right? And it was so funny because you could see how much trouble they had hiding the crowd loving you, because they'd have like someone like Taipan came out and they'd have the booze and everything and they'd introduce you and you could hear the pop from the crowd that you could tell they're like, all right, well, we'll mix that down, because you know, you can tell that the tide was turning because you were winning over the crowd when essentially they didn't want you to be winning over the crowd, it felt like.
Before we started the game, the producer came up to me and he goes, okay, you're a wrestler, right? So what are you going to do? And I said, what do you mean what I'm going to do? I'm going to perform. I'm a performer, man. They don't realize it first. I'm a performer. I'm here to entertain. I entertain people. I said, you got to watch. He said, just watch me. Then I did it. The first game, this is, oh, that's normal. And then the second show, I told the boys, they're going to hate me today. He goes, what do you mean? They're going to hate you. What do you mean they're going to hate you? They don't even know you. Trust me. I went in there, do a little thing like that, and everybody just booed me. Like in Australia, you can't go be a bad sport, right? I used that, and I just went to somebody and said something. I said, hey, man, such what is you coming here? And he was just like, oh, boo, boo. And then the third one, Vulcan is a wanker. Vulcan is a want to see that. They want to see me get beaten.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The same thing Muhammad Ali did for him. He's like, I'm the prettiest. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. He saw that from Gorgeous George, the wrestler, in the 50s.
Yeah.
It's not total gimmicks. Like Anthony Mundine was doing the same thing. Floyd Mayweather does the same thing. They don't see the good side of them. They see them and the camera's there. Bang, that's when I perform. Normal time, you can go, you go have a drink with me. As soon as the camera's on, man, I'm there. Because you know what? That's my living, bro. That's what I do. And those people don't understand. I'm the only one that understood it because of me spending time in America, knowing how the business works. Bro, it's all a work, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Game, man. Everything, you know what I mean? That's why people go get their hair done, get their hair perm. You got curly hair? No, man. You got straight hair. You know what I mean? Everything in the world, we just pretend to be there.
Yeah.
And the guy, one of the journalists asked me, he goes, oh, you guys just copied the American TV show. And I said, do you think 60 Minutes is your original Australian show?
Yeah.
No. Copy from America. You know what I mean? So when I do that, when I did all this stuff, the boys could not believe it. And I said, I can control these guys with my fingertips.
Yeah.
In England, it's even worse. I'd get death threats in England.
Yeah, right.
I was in London. I got lost. I went to the cop and said, mate, excuse me, I think I'm lost. The guy said, you're a gladiator, aren't you? You're a Vulcan. He goes, yeah. Well, you're rude to my mate. I'm not showing you the way. You just took off.
That is, you know, amazing.
Show is a game, so you know when you're performing well, when you get the response.
That's true. I mean?
And then when they meet me, they say, man, I thought you were horrible. I said, oh, okay, you don't know me. You know what I mean?
Were the other gladiators like that, where they had a character that they acted up?
No, the difference is they just don't understand it. Do you know what I mean? If you watch the show, what's the Australian Gladiators, every time they introduce me, I look in the camera, my eyes, you know, they do my eyes in the camera, right? Those people, those other gladiator people, when they get introduced, there's 14,000 people clapping, they're responding to them. I said, don't respond to them, they're here.
Yeah.
Mm. I said, when there's 14 million people watching on TV, that's why the producers love me, the directors like, man, you know, see those eyes, because people, you know, they're already 14,000. You want to get the 14 millions on there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. Hear Bruce Buffer talk about when you're boxing, you know, to the 1,000 in attendance, to the millions and millions of fans worldwide. What do you want to do? I'm performing. They're here. They can see me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to reach the people that are there on TV, you know, like in the next couple of weeks when they show it.
Watching the episodes, one thing I absolutely love this time around, and it goes back to what you're saying with the character work, they would have, like, you know, an event like Hang Tough or something, and, you know, one of the gladiators would throw the contestant down easily. And then they'd interview the gladiator and say, oh, what do you think? And the gladiator would be like, oh, he did so well. He put up such a great fight. But then when it comes to Vulcan, it was like, you know, if you didn't win the battle, they'd be like, oh, Vulcan, what do you think went wrong? And you're like, well, everything went wrong. He wasn't supposed to win. He's not as good as me. It was, and I just loved that at no point would you pay anyone their dues. You were like, no, you're here to compete against me. I've got no love for you. And I just loved that difference, because they'd go to, you know, Tower or someone, or Hammer or someone, they'd be like,
yeah, and they're like, oh, the, it was
they
a good
did
fight,
such a good fight and good job, and congratulate the contestant. But you never got that from Vulcan. It was always like, no, either I won or I didn't.
That's right. There's a guy, I don't know if you watched it, the Danny Green's bodyguard when he was fighting. Danny, good friend of mine, Danny Green. There's a guy called Shane Saltmarsh. He was the SAS. He's a trainer for the SAS in Perth. He's a crazy guy. He's about 6'2", 6'3", solid as hell. He came on the show. I beat the living hell out of him. Like, you know, beat him up like he owed me money. I beat him up, and then I got interviewed. I work, and I said, hey, this guy, he's in the army? He goes, yeah. I said, what, Salvation Army? I was so upset about it. When I was in Perth, I was drinking in this pub, and all these group of guys there, and I was like, man, one of the producing guys, this guy's eyeing you out, Channel 7 people. And I said, oh, I wonder who they are. He goes, oh, they're SAS guys. And he goes, hey, man, can we talk to you for a minute? I was like, I'm dead here. SAS, he goes, oh, right. He goes, yeah. Or Shane. He goes, oh, you know Shane. He goes, yeah, I want to shake your hand. He goes, he's just a dickhead. You know what I mean? He's paid up. Because we've never seen him go smash teeth. It's embarrassing for him. It'd be vice versa for me. If I get beaten, I would use an excuse. But him, you know, like, he just didn't know what to say. Because he didn't have that showmanship that, you know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, it was lucky. No, he wasn't lucky. You know what I mean? I put him down. He actually hasn't forgotten that. Every time he sees me, he goes, oh, good on you. You know, like, Salvation Army. He got smashed for that. So you've got to be quick, man. You've got to be quick. You know, like, if you know you're in the entertainment industry, you say something, you've got to be quick with a comeback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you lose, it's like, man, you know what I mean? My hand slipped. They want to complain. You know what I mean? This guy did this. You know, did that. Like, I said, you lost. No, I didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Watching it back, like, I've watched a whole heap of episodes. Now, I have a memory from when I was a kid and watched it the very first time. Now, I'm wondering if you remember this. I always had a memory because it was, I couldn't believe that this guy didn't get murdered then and there. I remember a contestant kissing you when you weren't ready and you absolutely freaked out. Do you remember that episode at all?
That's exactly just what happened just when I turned you right there. When the guy just like, you know, like, I was really upset. It's like, man, you should have smashed this guy. And he come in, hey, he was cheating, he got 10 points, and he kissed me. I was just about to freaking strangle this guy, man. Everybody just loved him. He says, good TV. I said, no, you better not show that. And the guy said, man, it's good. He's adamant. You know, he talked me into it. I said, nah, you better not show that. Said, no, it's really good. And he showed it. Oh, my God. You know, like, I gave that guy, like, probably 10 seconds of fame.
Yeah.
And then next, I'm going to murder this guy. So next, I don't know what happened. Next time, I think it went, let's match him up with someone else. I remember that.
Because to me, as the massive Gladiators fan I was at the time, that was the equivalent of climbing in the ring and flicking Iron Mike Tyson in the nose with your finger. That's what that was for me, seeing him antagonize you like that.
Yeah, just like, you're my little bitch now.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was really crazy. I remember when I was in, they had the Australian Athletics versus the Gladiators, right? They got a swimmer. This kid's name is Chris Fidler. He was in the 400. He won gold for Australia. He came on the show, and I was just like, he was telling us, oh, are you guys going to face these guys? And I went, I was sort of fairly humiliated. I was like, oh, man, what's this guy got? You know what I mean? Like, come on, man, this is embarrassing. I said, oh, no, you know, it's all for game. You know, they're swimmers. And I was like, far out. And this guy, every time they were training, you know, they come in, they try to get eye contact with me. I just like, don't smile at me, freaking, I'm nuts, you know? If you watch this, go back, if you put in Chris Fidler, swimmer versus Vulcan. I was so upset. I climbed up on the jewel and I went up to him and I just like, who the F are you? Think you can come here and say, he's smiling away. I was, by that time, if you watch the TV, they only count 3, 2, 1. But for the live audience, they come from 10.
Yes.
Ah.
Then, fine, because everyone's good ready. When I was on his podium and I just gave it to him, he said, I just hate everything about you. I'm going to kill you. You know what I mean? This kid was looking at me like, what the hell did I do wrong? I said, I even hate your shoes. Do you have a cat? I freaking hate your cat. I said, go freaking buy one because I freaking hate that cat too. And then I said, back to your fall. He goes, yeah. We said you prefer to fall on left or right. He goes, oh, the right. So I knocked him off on the right, just one shot. He was just like, fuck happened, you know what I mean? He didn't know what the hell had happened then. When they went back and Kimberly Joseph said, oh, what was Vulcan asking you about? You could have just said, oh, no, we just trash talking. And he goes, oh, you asked me which side I want to fall on. And this kid now is a big-time lawyer in Sydney. And one of the time when he got in, he actually told him that story. So I ran into one of these guys. Hey, man, you know Chris Fidler? I'm a lawyer with him. He told me this story. And I thought, yeah, man, that was true. So, yeah. Like I said, you know, you're going to intimidate them that way. But after when the show's finished, man, we had a drink together. They all said, man, I thought you hated me. I don't know you, man.
What about egos? Because obviously with any physical contest, ego has to come into it. Obviously, you're all essentially on the same team. Were there any of the other Gladiators, because obviously it's quite a macho thing, were there any other guys that you just didn't get along with or, you know, egos got in the way?
Everybody doesn't just like, see, I'm, if you ask Wayne, I just muck around with some jokes, you know, like every day he goes, I laugh off at everything, you know, prank, I do prank and everything. And just, you're going to, like, there's no ego. Seriously.
Yeah.
Probably the chicks are the thing that diva, oh, every dude who gets the makeup thing first. I don't care, man. We're gonna, you know, they're not gonna start the show without you. You know, they're there because you, I think for the boys, man, we're all the same level, man. Everyone's bang, you know. I think guys, you work hard, you make a lot of money, and you do appearances, you make a lot of money on that one, you know what I mean? No ego whatsoever. It was not, everybody was same.
Well, that's cool.
And what was it like the end of, say, 95 going into 96? What was it like for Vulcan walking down the street?
I couldn't do it, man. It was terrible. Seriously, I honestly thought it was like, everyone's like, oh, fame is good. Fame is bad, man.
Yeah.
He's really, I couldn't even fill up my petrol at the service station. I couldn't do that. And I come home and I just lock myself in the house. And, you know, you get people come knock on the door and they just rip off my wife's car, the mirrors and everything. They want to take it in there. Yeah, it's really bad. We have to get a fencing put in the front, put gates in the front where we live because of that. And they're not allowed to put that. So I went to the council and they said, yeah, if you can put it up, man.
Yeah.
And you have like every single relative that you know all of a sudden be like, yeah, Vulcan, remember me?
One time I was walking in the city, this kid was, hey, man, yeah, you're my uncle. Who the hell are you? I'm so, really? Oh, okay. Yeah, you remember my mum, no? You know what I mean? Like, it just, seriously, it's one of those things. I mean, if somebody want to do the same thing, bro, make a lot of money and leave because it's not fun.
Yeah.
You go to the airport and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I went to New Zealand one time and the pilot just announced, oh, we welcome New Zealand, blah, blah, blah. He goes, we want to welcome Vulcan sitting on row such and such.
Oh, man.
Picking up, bro, seriously, as soon as the plane, like, leveled out and all these kids just started looking for it.
Oh, and I thought,
up in the back of the head when I see him. It's open doors, but I think all the trouble, I don't think it's worth it. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, in England, England's even worse. In England, boy, those boys, like when I go over there, like we went there with a tour and all the boys, like, you know, they blend in, you know, big, tall, Aussie figure guy and let's hang out with me. They're just like, must be Vulcan. You know what I mean? Because I'm the only black.
What about, do you keep in touch with any of the other gladiators or anyone from the show?
Hmm.
What do you want to keep in touch with is Tower, man. Tower's a good friend of mine. Awesome. Tower's a cool guy, man. He's got a dry sense of humor. He's the freaking worst. The guy can, oh, my God. You know, every time I ring him up, he's just like, you know, typical of the F you one, you know what I mean, blah, 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 blah. For like 4 years. And I'm just like, oh, you going, yeah, good, yeah, okay, no worries. Yeah, oh, yeah, you know, carry on. The conversation carries on, you know what I mean? When you know somebody like that, you don't have to see them or whatever. You can call them and just continue on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I had the little figurine of Tower, the Gladiator Tower figurine.
Yep. Yep.
So I remember that. But tell him that the only reason that I had that is because it was the only one left. Nobody else wanted to buy the Tower.
Oh, tell him that. That'd be so funny.
Yep.
Got-
no, I think my brother might have it. Yeah.
Sell it for 5 cents.
I still remember nothing made you cooler when I was in primary school. Me and Casey were talking about this before we started. The Gladiators show bag, yes, with the inflatable helmet and the inflatable hammer.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon there'd be maybe 3 or 4 funny shaped noses out there in Australia because kids beating the crap out of themselves with the show bag.
Yep, you had the blue and the red and you could just beat the crap out of your siblings.
It was fun. It was probably the best thing too. We went to Fiji, that's where I came from originally. I went to Fiji with the family for a holiday. And the guy just like saw me like he knew me. He's like, hey, man, how are you? I said, good, good. I was like, who the hell is this guy? He went to the airport. And then you put all of us in like first class. Like my wife and I was there. I was like, oh, my goodness, you go first class. He goes, yeah, no way, everyone can come first class. And I went, oh, shit, that's pretty good. Up with me, first class, with, you know, I wouldn't be flying over there. That's a good thing about it. Like, you give me free stuff. I don't like taking free stuff, man. They take me to the Nike factory up here in Sydney. It goes, oh, just load up whatever. Seriously, I took one pair of shoes, a singlet and shorts. And the guy said, you want to take some more? I said, no. Why? I said, oh, I don't need it. That's all I need. And my mate, police, he's bad. You know what I mean? I don't like doing that. I only take one. He couldn't believe it. I took one pair of shoes, a shorts and a singlet. And he took 3 full trolleys.
Were there any really massive injuries that got sustained during the Gladiator days, like from yourself or the other contestants? Or
Gladiator? Yeah, yeah. I got up like tendonitis really bad. My right still stuck, you know. But I just don't winch, I suppose. you asked to be in the show, put it in, it's probably the flow. It's like, you know, I want to be, you know, I want to radio DJ, oh, but I hurt my throat. Part of the show, man. Move on. A couple of the boys there hurt their knee. A couple of ladies hurt their back. You know, one of the challengers, you hurt her back. And it's full on, man. You don't realize. People, oh, man, the injury that we get.
Mm.
And, you know, we should go there. Because I take everything lightly. So I really don't care. I just laugh it off, everything. But the boys, we get carried away. And for me, because I'm a shit star, I just wind them up. And I keep saying all the other guys are talking about them. And they get... What are you talking about? No, man, I'm only kidding. Freaking hell, man, I almost killed the kid. I do that all the time. I just wind them up.
It must have been a little bit difficult because surely being that, you know, because obviously in the 90s with the fitness industry and, you know, a lot of contestants showing up with something to prove, that almost paints a target on all the gladiators' back because, you know, they don't care about the show. Like, they don't care about the story that's been told or anything.
Mm.
They want to leave a mark. Like, they want to actually hurt victor. You guys.
Mm.
So that would have been hard to deal with.
Oh, no, the thing is, though, like, all those guys, they couldn't even get to the fitness.
Yeah.
Because some of them are, like, rugby players. They go, man, you want to come and smash us? Just get fit and come in. I said, put your name down. I said, how many push-ups can you do? You know, how many chin-ups can you do? How many burpees can you do? Oh, I said, well, do 100 of them, and you can come. Maybe they can look at you. But see, the fitness. And go back with, you know, all those big guys who want to come and kill us. But, you know, the people, they don't realize, you know, the nervousness you get through with 14,000 people watching you, coming up against me, trash-talking you like in the way, when the guy's counting down, I'm going to tie my shoelaces.
Yeah.
And this guy don't even freaking care. The guy, like, 5, well, I'm looking the other way, you know, with a pickle stick, and then I just whack him, you know what I mean? And they just like, what the freaking hell? You know, you're going to have that confidence, and also you're going to psych him out. It's all mental game.
So just taking a look now at the list of events that were featured on Gladiators, the first one being the Atlaspheres.
Yep.
Which was basically the big metal cages where you had to run over the points. What did you think of that event?
It wasn't too bad. It was just pretty weird. And every time they started to lock me up in there, I would just tell the boys, I mean, bro, this is the scariest thing. Because what do you mean? Imagine there's a fly and we're stuck in here. They go, oh, freaking hell, man. What do you have to say? That? And you wear the focus pad, like a boxing focus pad, because otherwise you get cut in your hand.
Yep.
It was strange though, man. It's weird. One of the boys hurt his knee really bad on that because it's very heavy. They're about 260 kilos or something, those cages.
Wow.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, really weird. It's weird. I don't even get it. I don't know why they do it.
Yeah, and then there was Jewel, which, you know, that was
one of my favourite ones.
That was a fan favourite for sure, and it was. Yeah. I'm sure it's the one that we played most in the playgrounds at school.
Yeah.
What did you think of Jewel?
Oh, man, I love the Jewel, you know, because I come from the boxing background, man. I just hit the guy, even when we used to practice, they'd bring this stuntman in from the Gold Coast movie world. Man, I should just freaking terrorize his voice. And they don't stunt people. And I said, he didn't even feel that, even though I was like, fuck, this guy's dying, you know. I talk about it, I said, mate, look at that, he's so tough, this guy. I mean, he didn't feel it. He goes, nah. What is he? Oh, he's got a headache. You know what I mean? It's really, I like that. And the good thing with that is, you know, like, you there by yourself, up on the top, people looking at you, cheering you on, you know what I mean? So even challenger, for them, just to last the whatever seconds with me, you know, like for them, oh, man, that's awesome. You know, it's like a minute. Go there, block the hell out of each other for a minute.
I did love with Jewel, you'd watch, and because obviously the sticks were quite padded and stuff, and so it kind of looked like it gave us false sense of security because some of the matches – you would swing and land your first hit and you could just see the absolute
shock.
On the contestant's face, how much it hurt. And they were almost like, I've bitten off so much more than I can chew.
Well, it's very heavy because I had it in my house and I stood it up and I said, let this drop on your head. It's so heavy. I think they weigh up to, 12 kilos or something. And then with a power behind it, that man, oh, man, he dies. Like, feel sorry for them. Like, I show it at that time, but I do at the end. I was like, man, I hope that kid's good.
The other one was Gauntlet, which I don't understand how any of the contestants had any energy whatsoever left after running the Gauntlet.
The thing of the Gauntlet, though, like, you put two big pads, like, on one edge, and that's like a stick. The stick one is better because you can hit them hard because you put your weight behind it. But the big stick, it's like putting extended weight on your arm. And all the you have to do is run to that side and then tap you. You've got no balance.
Yep.
Mm. Oh, holding the stick. That's when you hammer them. Oh, man, you should destroy guys there.
The next one on the list is Hang Tough. Surely there are thousands of contestants in Australia cursing all the gladiators to this day because of their arthritic fingers because that just looked so brutal, that event.
At first, when they did it, they put metal rings. And we did, I tried it first. It's like, man, that just cut the hell out of your hand.
Yeah, right.
And the producer's like, yeah, man, that's not for me. And he goes, oh, really? Goes, yeah. I'm just going to choose whatever I want. Yeah, not that one. You know, I'm too big, we can't swing. Get those little skinny boys to do it. Yeah, it's hard. That's very hard.
And Hit and Run, which was basically the suspension bridge. There's a lot of clips of you enjoying that one a lot on YouTube at the moment.
Fun, bro. What happened to the guy? It's funny because those balls are so heavy, and if you get hit with one of those balls, you go flying. So we used to time it. You know what I mean? I said, okay, you go first. We used to just try to perfect it. We can't perfect it that much. I said, one of them would just keep throwing, all right? And the other one, and the guy's looking at it, the thing's coming back and forth. And one of them is just like, ready, go, throw now. And sometimes the time you miss because the guy just go under this.
Yes.
And most of them get hammered. Yeah, it's just very, it's a fun game.
I loved watching the contestants that thought that they would take the hit and be able to deflect and keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were the guys that
ass up.
You know that they would make the highlight reel because they would be the ones that would go airborne.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're talking like, you know, 60-kilo
guy. It's
like
a boxing bag hitting you.
Oh, I'm just going to run the whole way. And you've timed it. The first one doesn't get him. The second one almost gets him, and the third one just launches them into the crowd. It's amazing.
That's always so funny.
It's fun.
Joust was another one that's on the list. What did you think of that one?
Which one is Joust?
It was the two elevated platforms, basically similar to the
gauntlet, but it had like a thinner pole with sort of like things on the end, like a big cotton bud.
Like almost a boxing, much like what Dickie Knee used to call it. It was essentially like a boxing glove on the end of a stick.
It's a joust with a saddle thing with a horse?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? We did it. It was really stupid. I'm the only one that got someone off.
Yep.
Oh.
I'm the only one that knocked someone off in that one. In doing so, I fell off as well. But the only reason I won is because I touched the ground later, like this after him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the middleman that I smashed. Yeah, it was fun smashing him.
That is so funny. The other one, swing shot.
Yeah, it's another weird one. You're going to jump and bounce, and I never even got that game.
I reckon that would be the cause of a lot of bad knees.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? That'd be a good thing in a fun park because you're there. You're jumping and you spring up, man. It's awesome when you do it, but I just don't get the game. I really don't get it.
Tilt was pretty fun to watch because you basically just waited for the platform to tilt the tug of war and just watched the contestant fall off. There was a lot of those where you could see like Mike Whitney or one of the refs would come in because the contestant had let that first initial pull go just so that they could counter and almost cheat in that event by letting the gladiator take the full tilt and then just let them fall off when it tilts back the other way. What was that one like?
It's fun. You just because you're your footwork because you're we started off leaning forward.
Yeah.
And they stand up back. But as soon as they start, you're gonna change the footwork and let it go back.
Yeah.
And then drag him up that way, you know what I mean? I've fallen off that freaking once. Strange as well.
Yeah. My absolute favourite game that was on the entire thing, I just loved it. We used to reenact it on a hill at school, a grassy hill, and that was Pyramid.
Yes. We used to put the couch cushions up on the floor and pretend.
I often wonder what like WHS or OH&S would think in 2021 if they were to bring back Pyramid.
Oh, what? You know, have you been... They've got sand hills over there. You're in where you live?
No, not really any sandy hills, but no.
Maybe it's like you try to run up a sand hill every time you put up, you always come back down.
You slip, yeah.
It comes down because the thing is like that, the sponge is so soft. Every time you jump up, you sink deep as well. You're going to have really, really good leg muscles to go up there. And the thing that you can just stand there and just push the guys off, you know what I mean? To just push them off. Yeah, it's fun. But you're going to be very fit to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing I did enjoy was there was the odd occasion where one of the gladiators would catch a contestant and they could simply just toss
them
off.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, I'm going to essentially spear tackle this guy all the way to the bottom. Like just that little feather in the cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to feel sorry for those guys, man. We used to sit at the back and watch it. One time I did mine. I went to grab this guy and he just turned around and flipped off. Man, it was so embarrassing for me and he won. And I was like, I want to kill this kid when I go to this. And then I walked off. I didn't want to talk to this guy. And then they said, the final said, can you go back? I said, yeah, I'm just going to be blocking him. Every time somebody come out, just push him off. So, yeah, it's hard that game, man.
Yeah, I bet. And there was also the highlight of the show was at the end, more so for the contestants.
The Eliminator.
How many times did you personally try the Travelator?
Oh, we're not allowed to try it. We're not allowed to try it because
it's hurt. Really?
Really?
You know, it's just for the challenges. See, you got to build the boys up. You build the characters of the boys, man. You don't get hurt. And the challenge, man, you get somebody get hurt, get someone else in. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah. We're banned from doing it.
Wow. Well, the show would go on the following week if the contestant got hurt. But if you guys were hurt, that's a big hit to the show.
Yeah, because I used to do it. I remember one time I suffered really bad migraines. And I told the guy, I'm not coming in. They go, oh, you got to come in. I said, no, I don't. I've got a migraine. He goes, no, you're going to, I just want you to come in for the introduction of the show, run in, you know, like run out of the whole thing and whatever. So they gave me a shot, you know, painkillers, man, just because headaches used to really kill me.
Yeah.
So got dressed, did the run, and I just run, keep running, in the car, go back to the hotel. It just, you know, like, it kills me. So that's why they said, oh, we just want you there because of people's things, and I'm there because I actually written down. They want me to do every show, but some of the stuff said, man, I can't do every show.
Yeah.
You've got to pay me the money.
And then watching Powerball, I do not know how that didn't become a standalone sport because that is visually one of the funnest games to watch.
You've got to remember, too, game we actually played on carpet. So you get tackled on carpet.
Yeah.
Wear knee pads and everything, man. Yeah, so you go back and say, man, all these scratches and things like that, yeah. It's it's vicious game, man. Vicious, vicious game.
That is crazy. Did you ever take part in, I cannot remember the name of it, but it was the figure eight track up on the ceiling.
Oh, yep. Sky track.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, I mean, when I do that, I like stirring people up. And then I told the guys, look, I said, put the little guys in there, all right? So when they said, oh, come, you don't do it, I said, man, you know, because I'm really famous enough. I want you guys, because you want fame, they do it for the belief. The only thing they'll realize is you don't even see their face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the guy's just like, bro, you're the biggest con man ever. So I just like, man, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, no, I don't do that.
Oh, that's amazing. Like, honestly, I was actually quite surprised how short Gladiators were on TV.
Same.
Because my memory
is... It felt like years.
It was the biggest part of my childhood. So, like, honestly, the strength that... The bond that has grown with Gladiators over the years, like, we mention it still to this day on the podcast or on the radio, and it just invokes this response. It is, much like we spoke about our last special, it is essentially, like... part of the zeitgeist of Hey Hey It's Saturday, where it is held in such high esteem by Aussies, where it's just like such a big part of who we were.
I remember when I was a kid in the 90s and my brother and I rang the radio station to win a contest, and we won a Gladiators calendar, and we got to go to the radio station to pick it up, and there was like posters up of The Simpsons, Who Shot Mr. Burns, and it just seems like such a big 90s memory for me that, you know, it was the biggest show that you could possibly have, and we had a thing like of it, like a merchandise. It was really cool.
We premiered the Gladiators, the biggest ever premiere in a new show in Australia, 3.4 million people.
Yeah, wow.
Because I was actually, we went and did the Logies, and they said, oh, you know, this the new show coming up, you know, they're promoting it. And then we're sitting in, I remember seeing a hotel in Melbourne, was Saturday night, and they're saying, and we watched it, you know, like there's only a few of us there, and we watched it. And I was like, oh, what do you think? I was like, oh, I don't know, man. It's just so weird. I was like, oh, wow. Is that it? And all this anticipation. And I was like, far out. I don't know how people are going to take it. So I walked down. Have you been to Melbourne, Chapel Street?
Yep.
There's got Chapel Street to get some food. I walked down, right, there with, you know, with my long dreads and everything, and I was just there with a thing, not thinking what, you know, what people are going to think of it. I said, oh, man, I don't think I like the first show. And all the cars were beeping and everything. I said, what are they beeping? And they're just like, oh, okay. And they're cheering. It's like, what? So they actually watched the show.
And it was just instant.
The pub was packed as. The guy invited us in, gave us free drinks. I was like, man, I want to eat. He goes, you want to eat? He went next door. The guy gave us free food. And I didn't realize how big. Then I realized this thing is big. Yeah, I realized that day my life's never going to be the same again.
Yeah, right.
I went to fly back to Sydney. I went into ANZAC, where they sponsor us. I walked in and a hotel was just, oh, Morgan, man. Oh, people are clapping. I was like, this is so bad. Because, you know, you're not used to it.
Yeah.
You go from nobody to somebody overnight. You know what I mean? And you switch straight away and you freak you out. And you're going to know how to take that. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You're going to, some people just like, they don't know how to take it.
Just tackle it. Just smash
them. Because of me, though, you know, being the only freaking, you know, brother in the show, and I just stood out. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And everywhere I go, people just come in, and he was driving the car, man. People just like, oh, my God. Mate of mine offered me a Ferrari. He said, take a Ferrari home. He's like,
what?
I said, oh, I don't want to take a Ferrari home. But if I stack it, I own it. Oh, you broke it. Nah, man. That's what I'm saying. I'm not a show guy. You know what I mean? I don't care, man. I drove my ute. You know, no, don't worry about it, man. I'll catch a freaking taxi. You know what I mean? Given the car, like the Hyundai gave us a car. He said, oh, he wants to sponsor the boys. And then when the car went up, I said, who do you know from the Gladiators? They all say Balkans. I said, okay, we'll give you a car. So I went, oh, really? Yeah, so they gave me a car, and all the rest of them, like, they felt really bad because they didn't get a car. Oh, but marketing, for me, I'm not into that, man. I'm just like, ask Wayne. We go there. You know, let's go here, let's go there. Man, I'll be at the back, you know what I mean? So, they changed our life at the end of the show when the show started. 3.4 million when you first debuted on Australian TV. And the next, and my agent called me, he goes, man, you know, 3.4. I said, oh, okay. He said, good. He goes, yeah, man, like, the next one's like 1.9. You got 3.4. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, that's pretty cool. And then he goes, oh, if you really make it, you got to make the TV week cover. And I said, oh, yeah, one day I will. 2 weeks later, I was like, you know, like, to me then, I was just like, oh, yeah. Just saying, then I planned at Hollywood. Up whenever we went to plan at Hollywood, I was looking at some photos. Like, oh, my God. I was like, Cindy Crawford and I, we had a photo together. And it's like, you didn't mean anything to me. And like, thinking back, and I said, oh, yeah. I was talking to Bruce Willis. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You even got to be in a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
You were a villain in a Bond movie.
Yeah, man. I was in England, and I went because the – you guys have a show called The Dancing Thing. You know you can dance?
Yes. So you think – yep.
Yeah.
Nigel Lithgow was the owner. He's the producer from England. He used to be the producer for The Gladiators over there. He just loved me because he loves entertainment stuff. And then he said, I really want you to come to England and do the show. And I went, oh, yeah. Because I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I'll see what happens. When the show finished up, I went and did a show on Fox. Fox signed me up straight away. He did some kids' show. And then he called me. He said, man, you're going to come over. So I went and did it. And I just took off this Challenge Wolf. You know the Wolf Man?
Yep.
Well, I was there. Do the performing as well, man. Everybody was just like, they hate me. They want to kill me because, you know, they really get to them what I say. I talk about how, you know, suddenly I'm from Bondi Beach, you know, like, I talk about how, you know, women here, man, you know, they're not so good in the eyes type of thing. And they just, you know, you bag them out a little bit. I was doing the wrestling gimmick. And everybody was speaking, going crazy, throwing missiles into the floor. And then they started to realize Barbara Broccoli, the owner for the James Bond, he was watching it because there's nothing else to watch in England in winter.
Yeah.
It was, he said, I want him to be in the next show.
Wow.
So, tracked me down for about 3 weeks, man. I thought somebody's having a go with me.
Yeah.
Like, Mike, let me hang up. Oh, this is one of the family. Oh, yeah, whatever. Hang up the phone. 3 weeks. And I went there. I said, but I don't even know how to act. He goes, oh, you'd be all right. I said, look, are you sure you got the right person? And they just said, look, we'll pay you this. And they pay me all this amount of money. And they took me there, they flew me there and back, and oh man, go to places, you try clothes on. It's just a different world. I thought Gladiator was there. Then you got a movie, and not only a movie, it's like the James Bond movie.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it was just for me. And even though I was just like, oh yeah, I was talking to Judi Dench. And I was like, oh yeah. I just like, oh, and me, like, stupid. Oh, I remember that English show. She goes, oh, okay, darling, you know. Like, you know.
You were good in As Time Goes By.
Not too bad. And Robbie Coltrane, good guy, he was talking to all these people. And they're like, oh, yeah, didn't realize. I went, oh, shit, I was having coffee with that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To me, and then, I was in a club in London. And there's a Manchester United boys were there. And he goes, the Manchester boys. He goes, so who are they? They're football players. And I went, they're football. Play rugby or, you know, Manchester boys. Oh, okay, they keep saying, are they, is that good or bad? Didn't realize, just like Nicky Butt there, they're all these speaking. Then I went back and looked. I was like, bro, this is the Manchester United boys, and they all knew me.
Yeah.
Was, you know, they watched TV over there. That's when I was in the James Bond film, and then Lennox Lewis, you know, the boxer Lennox.
Yes, yep.
So, yeah, man, you thought I was Jamaican. Yeah, I really mind. I was like, bro, I'm not Jamaican. Brian Lara, the creator, he's so weird. The power of television, everybody knew it. And I went to the club, and this guy was talking to me, man, I love to watch the show. I said, you must be famous, because everybody keeps starting to get you to sign the autograph. And I said, yeah, he plays for Chelsea. I said, play what? I'll play soccer, football. I went, okay, was he good? He said, bro, this is like the star. I didn't know this guy's name. So, if I look back, and I was like, man, that's the guy I was drinking. I didn't even know his name, but he knew who I was. It's so weird.
You must be pretty stoked that the name Vulcan has become iconic, and obviously aged quite well, because you look at some of the other contestants, like, you know, Cougar has become like a porn category for older spunky ladies. So you're going to be stoked with the way Vulcan aged.
Thank you for saying that. You know, like, if you know the game, you're going to play the game, bro. You know what I mean? You're going to play everything. Like I always say in wrestling, I mean, you understand wrestling, everything is a work. You know what I mean? everything's a work. So, I mean, like, everything is like, it's not real. Everything's a work. We are acting. You know, we're here. We're just performing. When it, like, my thing is entertainment. I just love entertaining people. You know, you go there, and that's why you heard of Kyle and Jackie O?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep.
Unfortunately.
Did you have it in Adelaide?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, yeah. Because my mate called me and said, man, you know, Kyle, I went, man, I never met him. He said, bro, he talks about you every day. I went, what? He said, oh, my mate Vulcan. I said, bro, I never met him. He said, bro, you should, he can ring up. He should. I said, no, man. One day I just called him, and out of the blue, he goes, oh, yeah, here you go. And he goes, he's called there. Who's speaking? Tell him he's Vulcan. And he goes, hey, Kyle, this guy, there's a Vulcan guy. He goes, oh, shit. So got me on the phone. I talked to him. Hey, buddy, how are you, man? He was talking to me like I went to primary school with him. I was like, oh, yeah, just chatting away about wrestling and all that. He goes, oh, yeah, man, you got to come in one day. I said, oh, yeah, whatever. And then last year, you're going to come in and surprise Kyle. And Kyle, like, see, Kyle's like you. When he was growing up, living, in, you know, on Skid Row,
yeah,
he played at us. You know what I mean? And I was his hero. Bro, the guy was freaking mad. He was almost crying when I surprised him at this. You know what I mean? One of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, you don't realize what you're doing to all those people like that. You never know. Like you remember when you're young, watching the show. Both of you, you know, when I was young, I was here when the show came on. I remember when I first watched the show, I was doing this. Or Kyle was living in the streets or whatever. And that one used to get him out of there. He's watching the show.
Yeah.
And you gave me this hug, man. I said, bro, for a long time, man. I was like, yeah, man. I heard you talk about me all the time. He goes, I do. Because I was just trying to get you in the street. I want to meet you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Jackie O was there. She's lovely, Jackie O.
That's incredible. Because you obviously don't realize you're just being you at the time, but you're changing all these lives of people that you may never meet, but you also
They're all at home. And you're a hero.
Like the power that you held, you probably didn't even realize at the time, like the changes that you were making for people.
I get calls a lot from black families, you know, especially Aboriginal kids. Hey man, you know, thank you. You really saved my kid. You know, like you don't realize, you know, you bring coolness back in black. I never realize. I don't even suffer racism. Yeah. Like I don't care. Nobody's been racist to me, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I was days like, oh, the guy thinks, blah, blah, blah. I said, mate, what's in your head, what's in your thought process, that's you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good on you. You know what I mean? It's you. Nobody can change. Whatever people say about you or think about you, you can't change that. That's their, you know, that's their perspective. When I come and do that, and they were just like, oh, man, you know, my kid's got a lot of friends now, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, wow. You know, power, you don't realize. I went to school in Dubbo. Dubbo is a country town from here. This Aboriginal school, I did a talk there. And they tried to give me this money, and I was like, for what? For your princess? No, man, you can do this for free. And the Aboriginal kids there, you talk to them and everything like that, and they're just like, oh, wow. And one of the girls there, she was very promising young girl. I think she's a lawyer now in Canberra. She did law, you know, she's really good now. But you just do your own thing, like you said. It's changing other people's lives, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One time I was at a strip club in Melbourne. My mate owned a strip club. And he goes, oh, my God, I brought to you when I was young. I was like, what the hell? I didn't tell anything. You know what I mean? I said, wow, I don't think you should use that. I brought to you when I was young. I said, you know,
that's incredible. My wife wanted me to ask.
Yes.
Of all questions, do you still have the outfit?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Do you put it on at home?
Put it right now, baby.
No. No, it's you. It's your underneath for everything. You've always got it on like Superman.
I get it. It's funny. I get it. Some people say, do you wear it? Because, yeah, man, I wear it in the mother lawn because it's comfortable. When do you mow the lawn?
The next question I had was, this is more so 1995 Dave wants to ask you, if you ever run across Cheetah again, could you give him my number, please?
It's funny. We don't know, man. Cheetah was she's a really good friend of mine, and I really don't know where she went, bro.
Yeah, right.
She's disappeared, man. I think she's living in Canberra. I heard the last time I heard. And her brother was the famous rugby league player.
I did not know that.
But yeah, he played for the Canberra Raiders and went to Newcastle Knights. He's really good. He's a really good guy too. Yeah, most of them, like, you know, when fame sort of finishes, they just go to hibernation type of thing, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And dude, it's a job, man. You know what I mean? I said, fame comes with it, but it's a job. It's like you, you know, you work at freaking McDonald's and you got fired and say, what are you doing now? I'll work freaking someone else. It's just a job.
Yeah, yeah. It's not who you are. It's what you were doing at the time.
Yeah.
And it's just, you just work. You just work. And people that said, you're seven, I said, no, they're just work colleagues. It's like you guys working somewhere else. You meet some guy somewhere. You are, yeah, working a pub together, and then you move on. She said, oh, how you going? But because we're in the limelight, then people still ask you all those questions. And Tao is the only one that I speak to all the time. He's a good guy. He lives in Newcastle. He's got a couple of kids. Yeah, I don't know what the rest of them are doing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know. And then a couple of boys from England. A friend of mine from England, Diesel. He's this big and good-looking, half black, half white guy, you know? Half Jamaican, half Liverpool. 6'6". Used to be a boxer. Used to be in the Marines and everything. I got him a part in the James Bond film. If you watch the James Bond, I was in, he's the one wearing the see-through suit that James Bond put the glasses on.
Yes, yep.
I got him that part, and then he decided to go to America. You watch, keep an eye on him. His name is Des Crawford. He'll be the next big king.
Wow.
I talk to him all the time. We just chat because when you come to Hollywood, I want to, you know, and he keep telling us, without you, I won't be here. Yeah. He keep an eye on Des Crawford. Yeah, Darren Crawford. He's a good guy.
Awesome. We'll keep an eye on that. And obviously, you made one of the most obvious transitions of all time because you essentially got right into pro wrestling. Mm. And that is what you have done to this day.
Yeah, I was actually wrestling before the Gladiators came out. And when I come in and they just like go back, I was still wrestling though. Man, I used to wrestle. I got my own show. I was running and my wife used to run the show and I was doing all this stuff. And then when he finished up, I just went back to pro wrestling, which is what I like. And I go to school that I've been teaching pro wrestling. And yeah, man, we got, like I said, I've been trying all this time to get into television. Finally, I got it done. So we finished, we recorded a lot of shows a couple of years ago. We're going to start showing that. And we're going to do a big show this time last year, by the bit of COVID. And now we're doing it next in a couple of weeks, in the 27th of March. Yeah.
Awesome.
March, yeah.
Nice.
And yeah, TV's going to cover it. And yeah, man, it's NITV. And that's going to go to the SBS, what's the SBS channel, digital channel?
Vice, man, or the...
On demand.
On demand.
Yeah.
No, SBS Vice.
Vice, yeah.
I actually watched only over the weekend a news story that they did on your wrestling school and also a little bit on, like, Muscle Mania and everything you've got going on.
Yeah, this is from SBS, man. They're really cool people. And the thing that I on TV, they need content, man. Like, you too, you can do a show there because, you know, too, like, you know, your brand really good. They're looking. If people don't realize, they're looking for shows. So the wrestling is going to be something new. It's going to be, we're only going to be like either WWE and VCW is going to be shown on Australian TV.
Yeah.
Because, you know, content, Australian workers, Australian wrestlers. Yeah. We're going to try to do that because good talents here, man.
Yeah.
Very, very excited. They got like big Wayne. Wayne was freaking scared. I was scared of him when I saw him.
Yeah.
I was like, have a look at him. Yeah. Any smile just gave it away, you know what I mean? Such a lovely, lovely.
I've got an incredible photo from my wedding day where Wayne is sitting at a table with me. Me and him are sitting talking, and everyone's kind of up at the bar and away from the table. But it actually looks like they're keeping a wide berth of Wayne because he's just sitting there in like the most undersized tuxedo you'd ever see on a giant man. But obviously, he's doing amazingly. Currently, starring in The Young Rock. So, yes. You know, it's pretty exciting time for you guys.
I got in there, rang the girl up, and I talked Wayne over. He's thanks, bro, I got the job. I said, don't worry, man. Fire out. Because I called the lady, I called the girl. I said, look, I said, you can't miss out the biggest freaking wrestler in Australia, man. Like, why not? Why not? It's the man. And I saw in the picture, I said, oh, my God. Yeah, he went over. One of the boys for me, Hudson Hawk. He's a Samoan boy. He actually played the Rocky's grandfather.
Yes.
In the day. Like, not old, but, you know, in the day. And, yeah, they finished that. And my son tried for, like, Jimmy Snuka, but he wasn't there. But he didn't get it because my son is a trained actor as well.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a wrestler too. And, yeah, so he's got a couple of big commercials in Sydney. Everything's happening, man. Every entertainment in Australia is going to. Wait, Debra, when are you going to wrestle, man? I want you to wrestle.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I'll get in the ring.
Yeah.
I've already got my name picked out.
What it is
would
it?
Be Bulk Bogan.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
You should... I'd get gassed walking to the ring, so I don't know. I don't know how impressive it'd be to watch.
He just gets in the ring and sits down.
How old are you?
I'm 35.
35, is that all?
Yeah.
You're so young.
I don't feel it. I feel like I've filmed 3 seasons of Australian Gladiators every morning. So there's obviously VulcanProWrestling.com is one of the places that people can check out what you've got going on. Is there anything else you wanted to let everyone know about?
Oh, no, just, you know, like the Gladiators now in England, believe it or not, they actually put a petition out for them to bring the Gladiators back.
Hmm.
Yeah, and all the other time is they want me to go there and do, like, Gladiators, the old one versus the new one. And I don't like traveling, man. I'm scared of flying. I just like, no, just stay here. And what? They say, oh, can you come back and do this and do that? I go, yeah, no, I don't think I'd do it. The trick is you put your price all the way up, yeah. And they'll pay me. And they're like, oh, it's too much. Yeah, I don't want to come. And then they call you back. Do this. No, it's too much. They reckon it's in the day it brings a lot of people into fitness because they see them, you know, the fight in England to bring it back. I was just reading in the news. You guys can do like news.com if you guys have it over there.
Yeah.
And you can read that they got in England. They're trying to get it back on BBC, I think. And, yeah, in here, it didn't take off. They called me for when they, you know, do the show. And, of course, I said, oh, give me this money and then I'll do it. You know what I mean? It's like, seriously, I didn't want to do it, you know? Like, also, too, man, I'm freaking not young anymore, bro, you know?
Yeah.
The injuries, I had a back operation, you know, I've got 2 bad shoulders and bad knees and everything. So I'm just enjoying life.
I still really do not understand. Obviously, we live in Australia. I don't know why our TV shows and channels aren't giving us more Aussie content.
Yeah.
I would rather watch a replayed episode of Gladiators than I would a replayed episode of Everyone Loves Raymond or something like that.
Yeah, just
like,
bring
why
back
aren't
all
we
those
celebrating
shows.
Our content?
Right, man. You're right. There was Australian made stuff and it was a success in the day. You know, it was really good. And also, like, a lot of people now, remember, like, I think they got something the other day, the shows used to love in the 90s.
Yeah.
And Glad Hey Saturday and all that stuff. I love Hey Saturday. It was my favorite show. And all that old show that we used to have, they should bring it back. Like, Raymond or Steinfeld, you know, like, speaking, they show it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I don't need to watch the same episode of Friends again. I would rather watch, at the height of its popularity, episode of The Gladiators. Okay. Like, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Definitely.
Okay, man. Because, you like, they used to say due to popular demands because they know people will watch it. And you can see, because I've got people coming to the gym, you know, and they go, oh, Mom showed me a picture of you. Oh, my God, it was really awesome. I love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should really put a petition out there if you really want to see, because I know you're a big fan of the Gladiators.
Yeah, bring it back.
Yeah.
Any day of the week I would have that brought back.
Awesome, you know, like, bring it back, especially now winter, you know, you can have, like, Gladiator night if you're having a Tuesday night or something. I bet you're going to take off, man.
Yeah,
well, I'm sure I'm sure the history books are going to show it's more popular than Tag's going to be, which is just a watered-down version of, like, a lesser Gladiators event.
Tag?
Have you not seen the ads for Tag?
I just saw the, one of the boys were telling me about it, and I saw the thing there on YouTube. I saw, oh, my God, it's a freaking thing. Flips and things like that. Someone's going to get killed.
Well, Vulcan, thank you so much for taking us through your journey when it comes to Gladiators, which is definitely not a shit show, but it is definitely worth revisiting.
Hey, man, you're welcome. You're welcome anytime. And thank you guys for having me. And, yeah.
Thank you for making the time. It's been great.
Hey, yeah, no problems. Yeah, just the boys are resting. And that's why I'm sitting in my car talking to you guys because it's so noisy in there, man. They're going... I mean, they're rehearsing and practicing and everything for the show coming up in a couple of weeks. But thank you again, man. Much love. And hopefully you guys were kicking some butt with your podcast that you're doing.
Yeah, we Cheers. Hope so.
Yeah, we hope so.
Well, now we've peaked because we've had you on. So, like, no motivation as of tomorrow because we've got the best guest that I'd ever want.
Yeah.
So nice. Thank you, man. Like, God bless you too. And hopefully if you come out of Sydney, man, you got my number. Just give me a call.
Anytime. Awesome. Anytime. And you make sure you work on that number of cheetah for me as well.
Actually, I think she lives in Adelaide. She lives in a zoo.
Oh, nice. Nice. All right, man. Thank you so much. Well, that's it, Casey. I think it's time that we retire.
We've peaked.
We retire shit show because there is no way we're getting a better guest than Vulcan. Man, that was a lot of fun.
Dream come true.
So good. Hey, it's out there. Cheetah might be calling me any day now.
It's not going to happen. I've had so many people tell me that they've still got their collector cards and things like that, which is like, it shows how long-standing the fandom of Gladiators still is now and what an impact it had on us as kids that we would even still remember it so fondly at 2020.
I hold Gladiators, the original version of Gladiators, I hold in the same reverence as Round the Twist.
Yes.
It's a big part of who we are as Aussies, but also wider world. It is something to enjoy and it's worth checking out. And speaking of checking out, head over to VulcanProWrestling.com if you would like to become a professional wrestler trained by the world's coolest gladiator. Fuck Russell Crowe.
Oh, yeah.
He is not even a good gladiator.
Nothing on Vulcan.
So check out VulcanProWrestling.com. You got all the information there of how you can train and basically become part of the wrestling federation that they have.
That's right. So, yeah, Vulcan Championship Wrestling. He's also got Club Vulcan Gym in New South Wales. And he is the owner of Muscle Mania Megastore.
Yeah. So check all those things out. It is so awesome that he's still going. And as I said, stop saying he was a legend because still to this day, Vulcan fucking rules.
Should we hit the gym now, do you reckon?
No fucking way. Unless it's like coward punching a guy named Jim, I'm 100% not for it. If we go up to someone from Jim's mowing and just coward punch him, I'm all about hitting the gym. But hitting other gym. Than that, no. We could hit the gyno.
Yeah.
Look in our vaginas.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, until next time, this has been Shit Show, where we wasted a whole episode on a not shit show.
Now, if you can think of another show that you think is held in high regard but might not look so good watching it now, drop us a line. Let us know a show that you'd love us to tap into.
We have been copying a lot of inboxes in that regard.
Oh.
A lot of Genie from Down Under.
So yes.
That may be a future episode for sure.
It could be,
This is Dave's Video Graveyard.